No, we have our kids and teenagers with us today, and I think I have a topic that's very appropriate for all of us. I know, kids, you're familiar with the term lost and found, right? Do you have one at school, a lost and found department? I know we have a lost and found here at church. If you are missing your Bibles, you might check the lost and found. But today I want to talk to you about something that's very important on God's heart. In fact, Jesus, in Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells three stories back to back to make this point that's so important to him. And I'm thinking, usually Jesus doesn't need three stories to make a point. Usually when he says it, that just settles it. And so I'm kind of curious, and I kind of know, but you might be curious now thinking, what was it that he had to say three times? Any parents in here? Do you have to say things three times before your kids?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so Jesus was trying to make a point to his audience, and he shares three stories back to back that all make kind of the same point. Today I want to look at what is the point Jesus felt so important to make that he had to say something three times. We're going to look at that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Holy Spirit, would you open up our eyes to see and our ears to hear what you would say to us about these stories that Jesus told his audience back then, and I think what he would want us to know today. And so have your way with us. May we not just be hearers, but be doers of what we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's look at Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, three stories collectively referred to as the parables of the lost, or lost things. Now, before I read to you the passage, I want you to think of something that's very valuable to you. Something that is of great worth to you. That if you lost it, it would kind of wreck your life temporarily. Right, it might be a piece of jewelry. It might be, something that's a tangible object that is. You spend a lot of money on it, and you know what? If I lost this, and I want you to remember that or jot it down. I want to come back to that here in a minute. But let's look at the text, Luke 15, verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners. Another word for sinners in the context of this verse are unbelievers. We're all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Now, in these first two verses, Jesus kind of sets up the story based on who's in the audience. So you have unbelievers in the audience that are listening to Jesus' teaching, but you also have religious people in the audience, and they do, in this story, they do what some religious people are good at doing. They mutter. They have this thought, they see the audience, they're wondering, what is this Jesus guy who's supposed to be this great, what is he even doing associating with these sinners, these unbelievers, these outlaws? How despicable, right? And Jesus sees this and hears this going on, and it kind of adds fuel to his stories, and he's hoping the religious people listen really well so he can understand what he's about to tell everyone. And so he starts with this first story. It's called the parable of the lost wallet. No, the lost sheep. The parable of the lost sheep. Here's what it says. And Jesus told this parable. Now, a parable, for those who don't know, a parable is just a story. It's another name for a story, but it's a special kind of story. It's an earthly story with a spiritual meaning. And so we're going to read the earthly story, and then we're going to talk about the spiritual meaning. That's what Jesus is hoping that his audience does. So here's what he says. He told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Now, you got to be good at math, kids. You have 100 sheep, and you lose one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. And then Jesus says this, I tell you, you listening? I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. So from this first story, we see that the one was valuable to that shepherd. Yes, there were 99 left, but that one still mattered. And I'm just wondering if he had 1,000 sheep or 10,000 sheep, a good shepherd would still go after that one that wandered off. Now in the Bible, Jesus is referred to as the good shepherd. And we're the sheep. And I think one of the points that Jesus is trying to make to his audience is, in the same way that that shepherd left the flock to go after that one, I'm that way when I think about one of my precious sheep, talking about people, when they wander off and get lost, I want to go after them. Does that make sense? You get that? That's how Jesus feels about each one of us. And then he moves on to another story. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? Kind of like Teak did, finding my wallet. Thank you, buddy. I feel so much better. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, and they say, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. Says the same thing. In the same way, Jesus says the same thing. In the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, in the first story, it was 1 out of 100. In this story, it's 1 out of 10. And some of the commentaries address why was that one coin so valuable. And back in that culture, many times the women would wear a necklace with 10 silver coins, and each coin was the equivalent of a day's wage. That was very important to them. So she's missing one. It would be like one of you women missing one of your diamonds on your wedding ring. You're thinking, one? I only got one. You would probably go to great lengths to look for that lost diamond because, yeah, you still have more, but that one mattered. And so if that was us, we would do what she did. And she doesn't stop until she finds what was lost. And I believe that would be God's view of us, is when there's one that's lost, when there's a person that's lost, whether they came to Jesus and left or whether they've never come to Jesus, he cares deeply about that one. And he'll do whatever it takes, like that shepherd did, like this woman did, to go find them, because that one has great value and they're extremely precious to him. And then the third story. Now, this is a little bit longer. Jesus continued, there was a man who had 2 sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So this son took his inheritance early and left, ran away, wanted to do his own thing, but he got in trouble. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. That's kind of gross. But no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, if you have something to underline, underline that phrase. When he came to his senses. I was 26 when I came to my senses and realized that I was lost and needed to find God. Amen. Some of you, you were a different age when you came to your senses. Maybe some of you here today, you still need to come to your senses because you're lost. And you have a heavenly Father that loves you so much that he's not going to quit thinking about you and praying for you and having people pray for you until you come home. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. In a sense, a form of repentance. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way up, watch this, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He wasn't mad at him. Now, I know in life sometimes a kid will run away and the parents, you know, just want to kill the kid. But that's not the heart of our Father in heaven. When we're on the run from God, he still loves us. He's still watching us. He's still hoping we'll come back. We'll come back. We'll come back. I'm not going to beat you. I'm not going to put you in time out. I'm not going to take your car away. I just want to run out and give you a big hug and give you a kiss because you came home. Now, parents, there's something in there for you. If you've got a kid that's wayward, you might handle it the way this father did instead of the way your father did. Or the way you're thinking about doing it. So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned. I mean, the kid couldn't believe. He was expecting to get chewed out. Yet upon his return, he was really surprised that, no, my dad is, boy, maybe I'm not going to get in trouble. His father came out to meet him. He was so glad. He said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and let's celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. Talking about spiritually dead. He was, say it with me, lost, but what? Now he is found. Now, I don't have it on the screen, but if I were to finish that phrase, it would say, so they began to party. P-A-R-T-Y. Why? That'll register with some of you. Because I love you. No, they began to party in heaven. Because that one lost son, he had another son, an older son, which I'm not going to tell you that part of it. That's a whole other message, but you can go and read it on your own. But he would be considered, like in that first story, or at the very beginning of this passage, he was the older brother who was right with God. He was right with Dad. He was the religious person, the righteous son that muttered. And there's a lesson there for believers who have a problem of muttering. You can read it. It's good. But it's a great story. Who likes good endings? Yeah. So these are three stories, all with good endings. First, it was the sheep that was lost and found. Then it was the coin. And now it's a son. It's a person. It's a human being. I just wonder, because Jesus starts out of those three, maybe something that was least important, although to that shepherd it was very important. And it was what? 1 out of 100. And then he kind of raises the bar. Now it's 1 out of 10, but it's a like real valuable silver. But then it's 1 out of 2, and it's a son. And in this third story, I'm just thinking that Jesus is thinking, now I'm going to capture the hearts of the people in the audience, because there's a lot of parents in the audience, and they know the love of a parent for their son, and they can identify with what it must be like to have one of their children run off and run away and not come home. And I'm just wondering if telling this story, they might then begin to get an idea of how their heavenly Father thinks about them and loves them. And knowing that there's lost people in that crowd, like there might be some lost people in this crowd, Jesus wanted them to know you have a heavenly Father that would die for you, which he did. He would die for you to come back to him, which he did. And notice what drives all three of these people who have lost something very valuable. What drives them is, I'm going to look for them until they're found. That's the end game. I've got to find what was lost. And when you think about when you got found, if you're here today and you were lost and got found, how much God loves you because of what he did to find you and to save you. So, real quick, I want to give you three takeaways from these three stories that might help us live forward with this teaching in mind, these points. And point number one is this: God cares about the ones who are lost. There was the one sheep, the one coin, the one son, And it's obvious from all three stories that God deeply cared for the ones who were lost. Now, here's the spiritual application. Remember, a parable is an earthly story with a spiritual meaning. There are ones, people, there are ones, you might know someone who's lost. They're not just someone. They're a very important one to God. And because they're important to God, they should be important to us. But there's probably someone or many ones in your life that you know are lost that haven't been found yet. And my question to you is, are you going to help God find them? Am I going to help God find them? The ones that I know, the ones in my life. I believe that God's given me a responsibility to care for those people like he does, to represent him in his love for them and find a way to tell them how much God loves them with the hope that they might come to their senses and come back home. So he loves them. And the reason he would do everything possible to find them is because they have much to lose if they don't come home. Jesus summed up his entire ministry with these words. This is another verse, Luke 19:10. Says, "For the Son of Man," that's Jesus, "for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." We celebrate Christmas from that standpoint. Jesus came at that very first Christmas, what we call Christmas, that first Advent, right? He came to what? He came for a purpose. He came to seek and to save lost people. Now, I want to hit the pause button real quick. That's going to be our power verse today. I've kind of shortened it. For the Son of Man, that's Jesus. So, because I didn't have as many boards to put words on, I had to shorten it. You know, you have the amplified version. Well, this is Pastor Bob's condensed version. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Can we say that? Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Let's say it again. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And where is it found in the Bible? Luke what? 19. Luke what? 19. All right, so we're going to do two teams real quick. Corbin, you want to be my girl team leader? I need you to find. How many we got there? Seven. And you can be one of them. You can be one of the boards. I need you to find six girls, and pick some from each section. These are girls that are like in G-Force or J-High or high school. Six girls to be on your team. Hurry, quick. And then I want a guy over here. Yep. Put your phone down. I want you to go find six guys to be on the guys team. Hurry. Different ages. Oh, you picked his brother. Good. Come on. Quick. Y'all are slow. People are lost. They need to be found. Hurry. Urgent. KB, you want to help me over here on this side? John, you want to help me over here on this side? Hey, guys, come on. Hurry. Come on. My goodness. The girls are going to beat you. Here's what we're going to do. You're going to be handed. These are all scrambled, but on the back side of these boards have a word. I want you to take a board, but don't look at it. And then when I say go, you're going to all get together and look at the words, and I want you to put it in the correct order. The first word's going to be at that end, and it's going to go left to right so the audience can read it in its right order. Girls, did you hear that? Don't look at it. We're going to go left to right. It has to be in the right order so the audience can see it. Who thinks the guys are going to win? Yeah. Who thinks the girls are going to win? Yeah. Guys, you got your work cut out for you. You ready? I'm going to count to three. And then I want you to work as a team, and let's get this in the right order. Now, that's the bigger verse. You can look there if you want some help, but at the end of the day, you're going to have to go with the smaller verse that I just had everybody repeat. Are you ready? On your mark, don't help them out here, please. Don't help them. Don't help them. Don't help them. On your mark. Who's going to root the girls on? Who's going to root the guys on? Okay. Are you ready? On your mark. Get set. Go. Don't help them. 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 Chance Foster. Chance Foster, sit down. Does somebody have a yellow flag? Throw it at him. You're out of order. First you use the word freaking, and then you get out of order. Come on. Hold him up high. Hold him up high. Girls? Girls? Let's see. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, Luke 19:10. Good job. Guys are still trying to get in order. Let's see, guys, did you get it? Jesus came. Jesus came. Jesus came. Jesus came. To seek and save the lost. I think the girls got you. I think the girls, right? Girls got you. All right, guys, if you'll gently stack your cards there and go have a seat, I hope you don't forget the verse. Jesus came to what? And who's going to help him? Who's going to help him? We are, right? So point number one, God cares about the ones who are lost. Why does he care so much? Because he loves them and they have a lot to lose. They have their eternal future at stake if they stay lost. They will not make it to heaven. Kids, listen, your friends won't make it to heaven if they stay lost. And you're going to get to heaven one day because you're not lost anymore. And you're going to wonder, where is that guy? Where is that girl? And Jesus is going to say, well, did you tell him about me? You don't want that to happen. You don't want that to happen. You know, they say there's no sadness in heaven. I think there's going to be a day of sadness when we realize who we thought would be, there's not. And we're going to be really surprised to see people there that we didn't think would make it. And I don't want anybody to be sad on that day when they get there and who you thought would be, there's not there. And you could have had something to do with it if you'd have just told them about Jesus. Now, you can't make anybody say yes to Jesus, but you can still tell his story. Like somebody came to you and told you the story about why you need him. Somebody did that for you. Are you willing to do that for other people that you love and care about? And that's not just for kids. That's for grown people, too. So that's point number one. Number two, if we do what God did, he demonstrated an urgency to find them. In all three stories, they left what they were doing, and they went to find that was lost. They made it a priority. Why? Because that lost thing was valuable to them. And notice the progression. It started out 1 out of 100, and then it escalated to 1 out of 10, and then it ended up 1 out of 2, and it went from a farm animal to a human being. And I'm just wondering if God did that on purpose to stress the importance, especially of a human being lost as compared to an animal. Now, I'm not saying that that animal wasn't valuable to that shepherd, because we know he was. And I'm not saying that coin wasn't valuable to that lady, because it was. But I'm just wondering if this person who is lost, Jesus wants us to, people are really important. So much so. But if it's your son or daughter, if it's your son or daughter, and they went missing, I doubt you would go about life as usual until they show up. I think you would do your best effort to go and find them, and you wouldn't stop until you did. And that's the heartbeat that God wants us to have for those that are lost. Aren't you glad someone wasn't too busy for you? Aren't you glad someone came and had a conversation with you about your lostness with the hopes that you could be found? I am. I am. And then the third point is God celebrates when the lost are found. We see that all through these three stories, that the shepherd, the woman, the father, They call their friends together and say, rejoice with me, that which was lost is now found. The father, you know, he lit up the smoker. Probably went on a wine run and said, let's party, my son's home. Have you ever experienced that, where someone you know came to the Lord finally? And boy, you're just so happy. It's a cause for celebration, right? Johnny got saved. Hallelujah. Billy got saved. Yeah. That's what they're doing in heaven. Every time a soul gets saved, which is why it's so important, church, that we reach the lost and we learn how to share the gospel with them, because they may not be able to come to church. Or invite them to church. We have Easter coming up. Easter and Christmas are the two biggest days in a church to where they're going to hear the story about Jesus. I mean, April 9th ought to be on your radar right now. You ought to be praying hard for people that aren't believers. And just begin to pray. I want to invite them. I want to invite them to church. We're going to stay and have an outdoor lunch and all that's going to be fun. Bring the whole family. I want you to pray for as many lost people as you can, because I'm going to tell the best story on earth on that day. And we've got three services. And you can bring some first, some second, some third, whatever it takes. But how wonderful would it be if you brought 5 to 10 people and at least one of them was found? Amen. Would that not make your day all worth it? To know that I had a part to help my father find that lost one? And how happy he is. Why is it that the one thing that makes God so happy seems to be the least priority in our Christian walk? So my closing statement, I want to make sure I nail it. If you truly want to live your life in a way that pleases God, begin helping him find people who are lost. Can I hear a big amen? Amen. If you would bow your heads. And I want to ask you, what do you hear God saying to you from today's message? And if you remember at the beginning, I said, I want you to remember something very valuable. I want you to bring that thing back up into your frontal lobe. And now I want to ask you a question. What if that thing was lost? What if you lost that? What kind of effort would you make to find it? Now, I know some of you've lost children. You've lost spouses. And you can't bring them back. But you know the pain of suffering that kind of loss. And I want you to take that thought and transfer it now onto your Heavenly Father, who feels that same way when one of his kids goes missing and is never found. In fact, he sent his son Jesus to come to die for those people. He died for people to be found. And I'm just hoping that the Holy Spirit kind of ignites our spirit and turns us more on fire and helps engage us to be about the business of finding those ones who are lost, because they really matter to the one who saved you. If you're here today and you would say, you know what, I'm kind of that lost guy or girl. I've wandered off. Hopefully you've heard God through this message talk to you personally and say, you are worth being found. And here's the good news. You don't have to do what the son in the story did. You know, he didn't feel like he was deserving of it. Well, he wasn't. Neither are you. I want you to focus on how the father felt when he decided to come home. He's not going to chase you down. He gives you free will to roam, to run as far as you want. But I think you would agree with me that life isn't really better that way. And he's just waiting for you to come to your senses and come back home to him. And if you will, and when you do, the Bible says they throw a party in heaven. And I'm just wondering if somebody here today is that person that's ready to say, hey, I'm ready to come home. Or we can give heaven another reason to party today. Anybody? In fact, if that's you, would you just stand up right now? Don't fight it. Don't fight it. Come to your senses and stand up if that's you. Usually you can tell if God's talking to you about this because your heart starts beating a little bit faster because you know you're on the run and you know you're outside of his will for your life right now. And it's your choice. It's your choice. I was 26. Man, my heart was about to beat out of my chest. I said, okay, I ain't fighting this any longer. I'm going. And I got up and I walked the aisle and I came down front at the Dallas Convention Center and I surrendered to my Father and I came home that day. Anybody here? Anybody here need to do that, want to do that? Well, listen, I hope you've heard the Father's heart about the ones who are lost. And I hope as a church family, we'll do our best, we'll make it our best effort to not be too busy hanging out with the 99, that we don't go after the one. Father, help us to be conscious about the ones you love and died for that we can help you find. Let that be our goal this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand and worship the one who saved us. Amen. I love you. I'll see you next week.